Last week with Radical, man, we talked about the knowing God through love, and John 3:16 was the basis for that. It's radical to see the Holy Spirit work in our lives, even though we're sinners, we stumble, we say things we don't mean, we do things that are not aligned with God, but God forgives us. That's the point of this message, and that's knowing God through love, because He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, that when we blow it, God will forgive us because He's just and able to do that. He died for us. It's amazing, man. But as I said last week, man, we see through the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, and we can't allow the devil to bind our emotions and play with our head and act like he's got something over us, because he doesn't. Satan has nothing over us. And it's radical to see that we're free from the guilt, from the drama. And that's it, man. Life moves on. God's good. And praise the Lord, because he's able to forgive us of our sins. And last week we're in verse 11, man. And we were talking about, beloved, knowing God through love. It said, let us in chapter 4, 1 John. And let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for growing in his word. We thank you for your word, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, work. Work this message for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Because, you see, believers, love is the key and the foundation to walking in the Holy Spirit. And verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love, and in this, the love of God was manifested toward us. So he's manifesting his love toward us. He's throwing his love at us. He's reaching out to us. And he's saying that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. You see this? That we might live. We might. M-I-G-H-T. Live through him. And the might is a choice. Listen, we have choices to believe in him or not believe in him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And that is the key. Love one another. Sometimes people mistake love for relationships. Man, I love everybody. I love every man and woman in this world. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. You know, love is so radical that you don't have to, like, you know, love isn't jealousy. You just, you know, I mean, love is kind, gentle, you know, and basically as believers, we're called and commanded to love one another and be that loving person to one another, help one another, be there for them and see them through the end, because we're brothers and sisters. And so that's the way me and my wife see it, as love. And that's the radical point of being a Christian, is love. Love is really covers a multitude of sins. And don't let the devil rob your joy. We talked about that in chapter 1, 2, and 3. Don't let him condemn you and make you think that you're less of anything else. Because you're not. You're beautiful in Christ, and God loves you where you're at. And so we move on to verse 12. And here's where we left off last week, where no one has seen God at any time, except, you know, I mean, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. And so Moses in Exodus 33 asked God to show himself to him. And God told Moses, no, I'm too holy. You can't see me. You'll burn up. You won't be able to, you'll melt like the sun, man. I'm just too holy. And that's where it, dude, that's what it's about. So he said, well, reveal yourself to me. And God took him to a cliff, a cave, and he shoved him in there, and he allowed his shadow to pass by. And Moses looked at that shadow, and he was like, woo, he's seen the shadow. He didn't even see God. Man, because nobody's holy enough to see him. That's why when we die, we're going to be judged, and then we can see God. And so as a believer, we must finish the race and finish the race in serving one another in love and mercy, okay? But we're never going to be perfect, because only Jesus Christ is perfect, and only he is the one that takes our sins away from us, okay? And we cannot let the devil condemn us. Through humans, animals, whatever it may be, we got to stay the course, keep on target, and don't look back. And just let the Lord just move you forward. Amen? Amen. But the key is we are perfected. God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And so by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that. And the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And whoever confesses in verse 15 that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, believers. And he who believes and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. It's that simple. And so, you know, I hear a lot of drama about, you know, this, that, and this, whatever, man. You know, let the water run down the river, believers. Just move on. Who cares? Just don't let the devil rob you. I'll keep saying this till the day I die. I don't have a, you know, rule about as a, you know, follower of Christ. I don't like rule about, you know, I don't know how to say this, believers. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. That's all I could say. It's radical. God gave us his Son because he loves us. He gave us his Son because he has mercy on us. He gave us his Son because we're free. And quite frankly, life is short. Why sweat the small things? Move on. There's so many. Think of other people who have different situations, man, and count your blessings, man, because today you're 20, the next day you're 30, the next week you're 40, the next day you're 50 in your prime and you're doing your thing, and then the next thing you're 60, then 70, then 80, then 90, then you're, or whatever happens, man. Love God and love others. That's what he's saying. He's saying, verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us, okay? This, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know, I have boldness because I have the Holy Spirit in my life. And by this means, look forward to the evidence of his Spirit rather than back to the evidence of love. So the proof that we abide in him and he in us, it's a mutual abiding, and it refers to the fellowship that we have with God as a result of our salvation, believers. And it's the evidence that God abides in us and we in him. And it's the experience of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so John's explaining how the believer can know that the Spirit is working in his or her life. It's a sincere confession of belief. It's an indication that we as believers, the confessor is saved, and basically Christ can work in us. And so, man, this is what it's about. He's perfected his love in us. It produces confidence as a believer. And basically, it's the anticipation of Jesus' judgment of the world. It's you know, it's a person that abides in love won't be ashamed when Jesus returns. It's a mature understanding that we love others and he loves us. But we don't have to be afraid, because verse 18 says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Don't let the devil make you afraid. Don't let him rob your joy and make you scared. Oh, I blew it. Oh, what's my husband going to think about me? What's my wife going to think about me? Throw it all out there, man. Put it out there. Who cares? Look, it's all right here. Don't let Satan hold something against you, because he can't. God loves you so much that he died for you. Believers, don't let the devil rob your joy. If someone says, I love God, listen. Listen to this. First of all, verse 18, let's go back to that. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fear has not been made perfect in love. So we love him because he first loved us. Believers, if you have fear in your life, you're not really walking. You're just wiggling. There's good fear and bad fear. There's fear that if you fall off a cliff, you know, you'll die. That's a good fear. Stay away from that. You want that fear. I mean, you want to be, you know, God will give you that fear, like, hey, watch out. But the beginning of fear is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. But this fear is saying, man, don't worry. Don't have no fear. The enemy can't touch you. But if someone says, I love God and he hates his brother, he's a liar. And for he who does not love his brother who he has seen, how can the love of God who he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Don't hate someone because of the faults in your own life. If you see someone sinning, pray for them. You know, pray for them. Stay out of the drama. You don't need it. It's just cancerous. Stay out of it. Leave it alone. If you can't fix somebody, that's it. Leave it. Praise the Lord. If someone's offended, apologize. Okay. Shalom. Adios. Thanks. Nice knowing you. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. It's that simple. Give it to God. Don't bring the drama to the church. Don't bring the drama to your house. Just leave it. That's it. You know, don't let people throw things at you. Fiery darts. They have their own problems in life. Who knows? They might be drunkards and they can't kick the habit. Maybe it's the booze talking. We don't know. But give it to God, because God can handle it. I can't. And as a believer, we must hand it over to God. Don't worry about it. God loves you. In chapter 5 of 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, it says, 1 John chapter 5, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And so it's not a burden. We shouldn't have this big old weight over our shoulder when we're following Christ. It's not a burden. It's not a works-based situation. God loved us. He gave us his son. Listen, he still loves us. It's not like you're being thrown out in the ocean in a radical wave of an ocean full of sharks. It's about God's mercy in your life. Believers, it's not a burden to follow Christ. You don't want to live like that. You don't want to knock on doors to get saved, to help. Oh, I need to knock on 1,000 doors because I'm burdened. It's not a burden to say, look, I want to serve you, Lord. That's where the Holy Spirit comes back in, inside you, and you walk in the Spirit. Believers, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. It's that simple. It's real simple. I keep it simple because the message is simple. A lot of church pastors want to make it real difficult. Not all, but a lot of them do. It's simple. Let the Holy Spirit work. It's not a burden. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the honor of faith. Listen to this. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's that simple. Give it to God. It's radical. Being a child of God, it's trusting that Jesus Christ can correct sincerely, and it produces a spiritual birth. And the birth is reflected in love for others, and who also have been born into the family. Submit to Christ. Submit to the Bible. Submit to Jesus. And your problems and your drama will go away. Just submit. It's that simple. Read. I mean, I've been guilty. We're all guilty. Repent and be done with it. I mean, don't use his grace as a crutch, but repent. We all blow it. That's the object of serving Christ, that he has forgiven us and died for us on the cross. We're overcomers, man. And this is the victory that he has overcome the world, our faith. We have faith that God will restore whatever has gone wrong in our life. You blown it, God says, I'll overcome it. Our faith, man, it's who is he who overcomes the world. But listen, he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that. And I believe that time is short. And it's about serving him. And so this is he who came by water. Listen, this is verse 6. This is he who came by water and the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father. Listen, for the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what you want to show Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, people who don't believe in the Trinity, believers. And so this is three in one. So if you're out there, you're listening to this sermon, it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Okay? For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross. Water and blood is the interpreted here in at least the four ways, but Jesus' baptism and the death as his incarnation, as the water and blood that flowed from his side on the cross, and as the baptism of believers and the Lord's Supper, and basically John's saying that he's correcting the false interpretations here. He's correcting the false teacher, Cyrenathus, who claimed that the Spirit came on Jesus as his baptism but left him before his death. Yeah, we know that's a crock. A crocodile, you know. But the Holy Spirit testifies in accord with the water and the blood, and so that Jesus is the Son of God. And so the witness looks back to the anointing of the believer described in verse 20, right here in chapter 2, in 2:27. And it refers either to the Holy Spirit, listen to this, believers, or to the testimony of the scripture. So, this is radical, man, because this shows that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And there are three that bear witness. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness. So, there's your three in one. It's so radical, Lord Jesus. Wow. In himself, he who does not believe. So let's take this back. Verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. And he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So a lot of Jehovah Witnesses try to twist that scripture. But we know that Jesus Christ is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They try to just say that he's one. It says in John, they try to twist John chapter 1, not 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. They try to say it was a God, but they're wrong. Was God. Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm blessed to know that. And so are you, believers. Because, you know, 1 John as a whole is clearly founded on the doctrine of the Trinity from evidence throughout Scripture, Matthew 28, verse 19. And it's clear, believers, that God is both one and three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are one. Echad in Hebrew. God, but they are also distinct persons of the Godhead. And so I always take the hard-boiled egg theory. I boil it, I spin it, and I peel it. You have the yolk part. There's three distinct characters, but one God. The egg is, I'm not trying to say God's an egg, okay, or an egghead. I'm saying you have an egg, you have the shell, okay, the outer, you have the whites, and you have the yolk. I refer to the yolk as the sun. I refer to the God is the egg itself. You understand? And then you have the shell is the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. Yeah, it's just label it how you want. You can do it with three different parts, but it's one egg, but three distinct characters in that egg. The shell, the whites, the yolk, and the egg itself. That's four, but it's three in one. Take that out and you got that. That's how I teach kids or youth or whoever wants to hear it, man. Or maybe Jehovah's Witnesses too. They need to know. But he who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. There's testimony. You see, it's changing the water into wine. It's first miracle, one of them. Healing the blind, you know, the lame, the sick, raising the dead. These are, you know, the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us also eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And so he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Basically, without Christ, you have no eternal life. If you don't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you're not born of God, I don't believe that the Bible says you will make it. You must be born again. Nicodemus told Jesus that. How is a man born again? Do I go through my mother's womb? And Jesus said, wound. And Jesus said, no, that is what is born of the water is the water. That is what's born of the Spirit is the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth, believers. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. And so you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And now is the confidence that we have in him. And that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Believers, don't worry. He hears you. And if he knows that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And so we don't have to worry, man. God knows what we want, but he'll wait because he wants the best for us. And so if anyone sees his brother sinning, okay, a sin that doesn't lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. And I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteous is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. So, you know, a believer should intercede for a sinning fellow Christian and provide that the believer sees his brother sinning, and then the sin does not lead to death, and death may refer to the spiritual death or physical death. Though physical death is probably the case here, you guys, but given to him life, the believer can pray with confidence knowing that it is the will of God that sinning believers should stop sinning. And a sin that leads to death here is referring to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to reject Christ. Don't reject him. You'll be sorry. And so this is what's happening in this chapter, and we're almost headed towards the finish line. I'm excited. We got to be careful because if anyone sees his brother not wanting to trust in the Holy Spirit, we got to rebuke him and give it to him, man. And so Christ enables us to know God in a personal, intimate sense, and Jesus Christ is the true God to know him. is to have eternal life. And so, you know, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin habitually, verse 18, but he who has been born of God keeps himself and the wicked ones, and the wicked one does not touch him. And like I said, believers, you don't have to worry, man. The wicked one can't touch you, okay? No one's here. You know, a big thing of it is a lot of believers try to say, oh, man, I'm scared. God's like, don't be scared. Trust in me. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. I got you. God has you. And just have that relationship with him and pray. But we know that we are of God, that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Because remember, this world belongs to the devil. And until we go home, we're always going to constantly wrestle with sin. We're going to have that sinful nature in us. We got to keep beating it down and, you know, just repent and move on, man. And don't let the devil condemn you and talk you into some negative stuff. Okay? We're all blow-its. And I preached about this from day one. I'm a sinner, was born a sinner, I'll die a sinner. And we know that whoever is born of God does not sin habitually, but he who has been born of God keeps himself from the wicked one, and the wicked one does not touch him. God will not let the devil hurt you. Look at Job. God tried to get Job the devil tried to get God with Job. He tried to tell God that I want Job. I'm going to make Job pay and this, and God said, nah, he's my righteous one. You're not going to be able to get him. He attacked his family, attacked his friends, killed his family, made him sick, boils. And Job's wife said, just hurry up and curse him and get it over with, Job. Curse God and get it over. God said, because the devil told God, I'll get Job to curse you, Lord. And God said, nah, he won't do that. So believers, you know, it happens. It happens in our lives, but you don't got to worry. Just, you know what? Move on. Move on, love on, and that's it. God will actually punish the ones for what they've done to you wrong. He does it. Okay? Someone tells me the other day, I don't believe in what goes around comes around. Well, that person's right. You know, you sow what you reap. So when you keep reaping what you sow, it catches up with you, believers. And I'll tell you this much. God loves you. And he'll never stop loving you. Satan has no boundary over you. And so listen to this. Knowing the true and rejecting the false. Verse 18 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. Okay. 19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It's to be expected. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and the eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. Chapter 5 is finished. The book of 1 John is finished. Jesus Christ loves you guys. You know, through Christ we have fellowship with the Father, and the God is life. We will win this race. God has a plan for you. We blow it. We blow it all the time. But listen, we must stay on course and continue to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Find a body that you can fit into that's non-denomination or anything that teaches the verse-by-verse believers, word-by-word, sound doctrine. God loves you, or keep listening to this program. It's growing in his word. It's free. I don't make a dime. I don't have a 501c3. Father, we come before you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the whole 1 John, the book. What a radical book that you completed this morning. Oh, I'm grateful to you, Lord. I can't wait to see you, Father, to be with you in heaven. Lord, you have made me. You've known me since I was a child. And we know that you have a plan for not only me, Father, but my children, your believers. And we thank you for that, Father. We just thank you for everything you've done in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you guys. Listen, man, don't let Satan rob your future by digging up your past, believers. He can't win. Don't let them rob your joy. Move on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. And Jesus loves you guys, man. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And thank you for staying with me with the whole first book of John. God bless you guys. And this completes 1 John.